Natural Born Coaches, episode number 506.
Welcome to the Natural Born Coaches podcast, the place where smart coaches come to grow their businesses. Ready to take your coaching to the next level? Then you're in the right place. Here's your host, Mark Mawinney.
Hi, it's Mark Mawinney, and before we start the show, I want to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's called Secret Coach Club, and it's not being done anywhere else in the coaching industry. You can get all the details over at secretcoachclub.com. That's secretcoachclub.com. And now, on with the show. Hey coaches, welcome back to another episode of Natural Born Coaches, the podcast for your coaching business. I'm Mark Mawinney, super excited to have you here on yet another show. You're going to want to tune into this one if you've been interested in Facebook ads. You're probably hearing all over the place, you got to do Facebook advertising, and that seems to be where it's at right now for coaches. Unfortunately, a lot of coaches are lost when it comes to Facebook ads, or they're trying to do it themselves, and they're just throwing money into a black hole. And that's why I want to have the guest on today, because he is an expert when it comes to online marketing, and he's really, really good with Facebook ads. I've been hearing his name around a lot. Pleased to have on the show today, Oz Konar. How are you doing, Oz?
I'm doing great, Mark. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So you're going to save people a ton of money, time, hassle, hair that they're not going to be losing by trying to figure out their own stuff for Facebook ads today. But before we jump in to talk about Facebook ads, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do with your business?
Yes, I have multiple businesses. So I'm running an agency currently helping other businesses run Facebook ads and different generate leads through different marketing avenues. But at the same time, I'm coaching a group of students on how to, you know, target a certain audience and get the right offer in front of them through Facebook ads, which has been really instrumental in generating millions of dollars across the board for so many companies. And there's a huge opportunity, especially with what's been happening with Google and other areas. I think this is a timely episode that we talk about Facebook ads.
Definitely. And you actually, I saw somewhere that you started your first business at age 7. Was it a lemonade stand?
It was not. I didn't even have a stand. I was not that fortunate. It was just quite a coincidence.
Yeah.
Originally from Turkey, my mom and I, back in the day when I was 7, there were really no supermarkets. So you do all your grocery shopping on the streets through like flea markets, open markets. And I noticed that back in the day, there's no bottled water. And these vendors are standing under the sun for like 10, 12 hours to get a sale every weekend. And they're just so thirsty, right? And there's no source of water for them besides whatever they brought in with them. And also the other people who are just shopping around as well. So I asked mom if it would be okay, you know, not as an entrepreneur, but someone who's trying to help, if I run back to the home and grab a pitcher and a glass and come back and offer people water. And I did that like after 4 times. And I don't know if people started feeling bad for me or they were just so appreciative of the fact that I was just offering free water. Someone paid me for it. And I was surprised, and I asked what it is for. And they said, well, you're selling water, so here it is. And I said, wow, what a concept. So I'm getting paid for this. So I did like 20 trips back and forth to home, and that was my first entrepreneurial journey. I did it for in a couple more weeks after that. That was the first time I noticed that if you find a problem that people are suffering from and offer a solution for that problem, guess what? You make money from that and you solve a problem. You have a lot of fans.
Yeah, there's you just put the definition of entrepreneurship into a nice little 10-second soundbite, but perfectly fits because that's what entrepreneurs do. They solve problems. You know, you don't have to overcomplicate it like a lot of entrepreneurs do. And if you'd had Facebook ads way back when you were 7 years old, you'd probably have more money than Mark Zuckerberg now. You know, you would have blown that up. But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's all timing, right? In business. Yeah. So how did you first get into the world of Facebook ads? Did you get into it more by accident or were you an early adopter?
I was an early adopter. We were doing a lot of things on Google platform, Google AdWords and SEO and whatnot, and noticed the spike on the cost per click, because when you think of online advertising, even before Facebook came into play, everyone thought about Google, right?
Yeah.
Of course, rightfully, Google is charging more and more for those clicks because everyone is going through their channel. And we had one client who was selling a comedy show in the United States, and they tried Google. It was just way too expensive. Their cost per click came out to be more expensive than the price of the ticket. And he said that this doesn't make sense. Like, this is not going to work. And Facebook ads was, you know, was becoming famous back in the day at that point. So I said, you know, why don't we just try this, create an event on Facebook and promote the heck out of that and see what happens. And, you know, his cost per click came down to like $2 per click, which is still expensive for today's standards, but it's much better than paying, you know, $50 per click. Then he sold that show was sold out, and he made, I think, $474,000 from that show. And he wanted to do more of that. That was the first time that I've noticed the potential of Facebook and how many people we can reach. And ever since then, a lot has changed with Facebook for the better. Now I'm pretty much addicted to it.
I think there's a lot of people addicted to it. I'm trying to get that darn phone away from me more often. I'm getting better at it, but it's tough because you pop into, let's say I have to answer O's message and I pop into, you know, Messenger or stuff, and then I see something else catch my eyes. And this actually happened, don't ask me how this happened, yesterday, a video, I went on to do something quick on Facebook. I said, I'm going to get the heck out of there after I do it. And somehow it led me to YouTube. To, you ever see those cartoon clips, How It Should Ended, where they'd show it came to a Rogue One, you know, Star Wars, How It Should Have Ended. And, you know, like 15 minutes later, I'm like, how the heck did that happen? I went on to answer a business question. I'm now on a cartoon thing of Star Wars somehow, and I don't know how it happened.
I think as a country and as a world, I think we're all suffering from like short-term memory loss because of Facebook and YouTube. Like, we end up in places where like, how did I get here? And you don't remember what happened in between.
Oh my gosh, definitely. So just to put things into perspective, you'd mentioned some numbers there around Google cost per click and stuff. What are you looking at right about now for the average cost per click on Facebook for Facebook ads?
Yeah, that definitely depends on the industry you're targeting and what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Because with Facebook, it is a lot more advanced right now. You can target to bring people to an event. You can use it as a sales tool to get directly sales out of Facebook. Or it could be for like a lead generation, collecting emails, and a lot more than that. So for whatever purpose you're using Facebook for, the cost per click will change. So we have customers who's paying literally a penny per click. It doesn't get any cheaper than that, I guess.
You can't get them to half a penny or no?
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Maybe geez, a quarter of a penny, half a penny.
And we have clients who's paying as high as $30, $40 per lead. But lead means something different. So they provide their contact information. It's almost like an appointment for like high ticket sales. So we have clients, if they land a sale, it is, you know, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. So for them to spend that much on a lead, you know, they can definitely justify it. So it depends on what you're doing, but there is a method to their madness. And, you know, once you kind of tune into your campaign and set the right expectations, it definitely works great for so many different industries.
Got it. Yeah, I guess it's different if you're selling something big ticket like that compared to something cheap. I guess that would make a difference. You don't mind paying more per click.
Because Mark, when you think about it, like when you're selling a $10,000 product, it's very unlikely for someone to click and buy right away. There is some nurturing that needs to be done, and probably you need a couple of more steps to build your credibility or build your rapport with that person. Then they'll be okay with maybe jumping on the phone and making that major decision, whereas someone is buying like a $10 product from your e-commerce site, which is much simpler.
Right. So I know one thing that a lot of coaches may not know about, and it's really cool, but SLOs, self-liquidating offers. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, most definitely. So in marketing, what you want to do is you always want to cover your budget, because ad budget is your biggest expense, right? If you're spending $1,000 to $2,000 up to, you know, we have clients spending $20,000, $30,000 per month, when you want to structure your offer in a way that your initial, whatever you're offering, initial offer pays for your marketing first. So when we set up a campaign, especially for coaches, let's say you're selling a $5,000 coaching product, you want to have a small, maybe entry-level product that you sell that covers for your ad spend. So spending money on ads doesn't cost you anything. And when you land clients, pretty much, I don't want to say free, but free of the finances you're sparing for the ad spend, the self-liquidating offer kind of comes in after someone. There can be different forms of that, but a lot of what coaches use, and at least they should be using, is, let's say I see your ad mark, you know, in my newsfeed, you have a video, you talk about like how to manage my time better. I click on it. And then you're inviting me to a webinar, for example, where you're going to give me 10 secrets about time management. Then I like the content and I sign up. So I give you my little commitment, which is my name and email, right? You got the first small commitment from me. Then, you know, obviously I'm expecting to get an email with the webinar details and the date and all that stuff. Right after that, you see another screen of you saying, hey, you're going to learn about this, but I want to kind of prep you and prime you for the webinar. Here's like three secrets that you can find out, you know, more about time management, blah, blah. So you go through like usually a 5-minute video. You can tell them, listen, you can have this, have these secrets from me, or an ebook or what, or something small. $17 or $7 or $37. And once you select the one-time offer and self-liquidating offer, that the goal is to cover for your ad spend.
Got it. And that was actually the next question I was going to ask you, is roughly what price range you're looking at for that, whatever it is that you're using to offset your advertising. Are there cases where there's one of those that could be $97, or are you usually looking somewhere like $10 to $30?
Based on our experience, the best price floats around $28 to $37, $28 to $40. You never want to use a zero as a number ending at zero. So it's 37 is like the sweet spot. 97 is doable, but it requires a little more effort to get a $97 product. And people need to associate that $97 product with probably like a $1,000 value. And they can say, well, if I were to get this, I would have definitely paid $1,000. And I can't believe Mark is giving this away for $97. You got to kind of set it that way. Or another way to do that is when you set up a one-time offer, let's say at $10, then you kind of increase their commitment. First, they gave you their email. Then they bought a $10 product. Then you can put a second offer in front of them. Those who purchased $10 product, because they're in the buying mode right now, that mode is open. So you can test it. Some people will not like you for doing that, but if you, it depends on how you position it. Just like anything in coaching, positioning is really key. Then your second offer could be a $97 product. Of course, only a small percentage will buy that. But when you combine a $10 offer with a $97, you're doing really well. You can be making, you know, be even profitable more than what you're spending online.
Wow. So I guess the thought is, instead of just plunking down, say, $1,000 a month for advertising, you could be getting back, maybe it's $800 or maybe even more, like you said, it could be $1,200 from that actual small offer. And then you're getting basically free advertising.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. That's definitely the goal, because the first goal in Facebook ads is not to make money. It is to break even from your first funnel. Then on the back end, when you get people on the phone, let's say for your $5,000 product, they already took care of your ad budget. So you're breaking even on your Facebook ads. Whatever you sell is pretty much yours.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to offend any of your competitors. Not that you would mind if I'm offending them. But what I'm seeing out there, it seems like there's a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a Facebook ads expert. You know, maybe they bought Facebook ads for dummies, or, you know, they're doing something there. And the way that I view it is they're saying, they're approaching me and saying, hey, Mark, give me $5,000 in a bag. I'm going to take it down to the casino. Oh, do you like black or red? Just curious. And they're throwing darts in the dark, trying to, you know, hit a dartboard. And you know, and I don't mean to, there's some awesome Facebook ads people, I'm kidding, but there are also a lot of people that seem to be just playing with the client's money and almost guessing with it. Do you find that in your world?
A lot, unfortunately. That's why I was fed up with that, and I started creating my own Facebook group, a private group where I really talk about the strategies, because
What's the name of your group?
Facebook 10K Revenue Club.
Okay.
Like helping entrepreneurs get to 10K, because that seems to be the first milestone. If you talk about different verticals and what strategies they can use to take people there, and I bring a lot of guests just to fight that off, because, you know, I definitely agree with you. Facebook's system user face is pretty user friendly, and if you just run one or two campaigns, you figured out the basics. About the most difficult part is, of course, the experience and also the audience, and creating the offer. Creating the right offer is like the most important thing. And of course, these so-called Facebook experts or gurus, they have no idea. All they want to do is dump some money into a funnel they copied from another marketer and hope that it's going to fly, which is unfortunately sad for our industry. But yeah, there are definitely good guys out there, just like you said, trying to do the right thing. You got to just kind of do your due diligence. Yeah. You know, just whenever you're buying something, that's your responsibility.
Well, one thing I've heard of happening to a lot of coaches is there's Facebook ad, quote, gurus, people who say that, hey, I know this stuff and give me X $1,000, I'll help it out. And what some of them have been doing is driving traffic from Facebook ads directly to a sales page, which my understanding is that could have worked years ago, but not nowadays. Like, you can't send cold traffic directly to a sales page. Is that right?
That's definitely, you got to understand where your potential customers are. And in their understanding of their problem. So as Russell Brunson says, you have three types of customers. One is the customer who's problem aware. Let's say they hate their job. That's a problem for them. They're aware of that problem and they're looking for something. That's the first type of customer. The second type of customer is the solution aware. They know the problem. They know the solution is to either start an entrepreneurial journey or find a job that's going to be a better fit for them. They know they need to work with someone. They're solution aware. The third one is the product aware. Not only do they understand the problem, they understand the solution, they know who to buy it from, but they're just kind of on the fence. Maybe they want to buy it from you. They want to buy it from other person. So the marketing you do should be customized for each type of audience. If you're putting an offer with your company name and your product name in front of someone who's in the first category that just have the problem, they have no idea what you're talking about. You can bring, 10,000 people to your website. Some will opt in, but that's really not the best strategy. That's why segmenting your audience is really, really key, like understanding where they are. If someone has been to your podcast, Mark, and they've listened to it a couple of times, they are product aware, right? They know that you offer a solution. So then by capturing that audience and putting ads in front of them through bringing them to a landing page would work for them. But if they're totally cold, then, it's going to take a lot of hurdle to get through for them to commit to anything.
No, that's awesome. So when it comes to Facebook ads, I know that you could do different testing with, say, images, for example. Any tips that you could give us there for people who are looking at which images to use in their ads?
Definitely don't use generic images that you can find online. Like, please don't.
You mean like the guy that's jumping from one cliff across the gap to the other?
Right.
Or standing on top of the mountain. Yeah.
On top of the mountain.
What about the fish that's jumping from one fish bowl into the other? Is that one original enough?
How many times have you seen that, right? So none of that stuff. If you're going to use your own image, and there are so many resources online, like Canva.com is like really user-friendly picture editing tool. You can put a quote from your program or your past post on Facebook and social media. But more importantly, for coaches, video is like the best way to go. And it's super cheap. It's not that difficult to get a 2 cents per view on a video ad than a picture ad. So pictures are good usually for like products that people use. And if it is an e-commerce product, definitely picture is a good idea. Picture is a good idea for testing as well. But for coaching specifically, I would want to hear what my coach sounds like or what he knows, the wisdom he or she has, right? So when you're setting up an ad, video is like the best platform for that.
Awesome. And how long are we looking at usually for those videos?
So you want to capitalize on certain different platforms. Facebook allows you to set up ads that would be shown on Instagram as well. So you can't really be putting up a 5-minute video. That's more for your group. If you're inviting people to your group, so they kind of get acclimated to your style and your way of teaching it, then you want to create something that's less than 60 seconds and invite people over to your group. Then due to your follow-up. But nothing more than that, because people have very short attention span, and don't forget that they're seeing this on their newsfeed, and it's just so easy for them to just keep scrolling down. So you got to make it really to the point, no long introductions about your credentials and all that stuff, just usually opening up with a question or a problem that they might be experiencing right now is the best way. Because then down the line, if they listen to you to like the 45-second mark, then you can kind of introduce yourself. But I see some people saying, hey, I'm the president of this and this and this. We help these customers. And there you go. You lost 30 seconds.
People don't care about your background.
They don't care about
And that's why I could have gone into a big bio with you, because you've got all these awards and achievements and books and bestsellers and stuff. But I find the longer I've done this show, I've gotten away from those big, long bios. Because let's keep it real. People don't care about O's, or they don't care about Mark's bio. They just care, hey, what can you do for me? Anyone listening here, I hope you guys care about O's and myself, but we're keeping it real. You don't really care. You want transformation. You want results. You want to get something from it. You don't want to know all our stuff, how great we are. O's is great, by the way.
Thank you. And if they really enjoy this episode, I'm sure they will find a way to find out that information. And I know it's going to be posted on your website. But our primary goal as marketers, whether you're a coach or you're a small business owner, you are a marketer at heart, right? Because you have to market yourself. You got to think about your customers constantly. What it is that they're going through, what experience are they going through right now that you can kind of interject with your message and help them out, give them a shortcut, something. Then once they appreciate you, they'll figure out a way to get a hold of you and they'll do their research about you.
Yeah, I remember Ray Edwards, I heard him when I was in San Diego for Social Media Marketing World. He said the two most important words are free and you. And he said, unfortunately, a lot of copywriters are writing without you in mind or the person that's actually reading it. And I imagine it's the same way with Facebook ads as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, the best ads that performs is when you're just answering a very vital question that just happens to be that they've been experienced right now. Let's say you're selling someone Facebook course on how to set up your Facebook page, not ads so much. And you're targeting companies that just started their business. Well, it could be like a great time, right? They know that they need to have social media presence and you just put the right offer in front of them and do a video tutorial and showing them how to do it. Then you gain their confidence at that point and they trust your expertise. Then whatever else you recommend on top of that, now you set up your Facebook page, that is time to set up your ads or whatnot. They'll follow your guidance, but you got to start by adding value because, you know, we're all getting bombarded with so many things every single day, from emails to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I mean, so many different channels, a lot of them I don't even use.
Yeah, exactly. So someone listening to this show, let's say they're on a really tight budget, they're a coach starting out, they're on not even a shoestring, a dental floss budget. What's a minimum amount that they could be spending on Facebook ads to make a dent?
$5-$10 a day, that's the minimum. And you got to narrow down your audience. If you're starting with a really small budget, targeting will be really, really key. And so you want to target a smaller audience. It could be like a geographic location or certain things they liked. So keep the audience under like 200,000 people and start with that to test your offer. Because no matter how big your budget is, we always want to create a couple of different campaigns to test what people respond to. Because you and I or you and the client, we can discuss all day and night about what they will like. But at the end of the day, what matters is what they say. Hmm. Like, I've been proven wrong many times thinking that this picture will do it, then totally irrelevant picture or video gets a lot more clicks and likes. Then you learn that way to test more and more before you make any assumptions. So no matter how big or small your budget, for certain industries, of course, there is a minimum almost, you know, unwritten rule that you got to have certain things for you to have enough data to be able to say, yes, this works, or yes, this does not work. But testing is a big thing, but it's a small budget before you start scaling.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the late, great Gary Halbert. So this is like a copywriting show. I keep mentioning copywriters, but I read this just the other day in his old newsletter, 30-year-old newsletter. He wrote something about how he did a campaign which he thought was perfect, had the best headline ever. He thought his best writing. It was a great product, great price, and he thought it was going to be a home run, and it was just a complete dud. It was something he was doing for the car industry, for used car lots or something. And his point was, hey, you got to try different things because you could have what you think is going to be a home run, could very easily be a strikeout. It probably will be a strikeout, you know, as you're in those stages. So I think that that applies 30 years later here with Facebook ads as well.
Absolutely. Only the medium changes, Mark. I mean, all the principles from Gary Halbert is still the same, and all the other masters of copywriting, the principles do not change. It's just the vehicle has changed, and a lot still applies. I mean, I know companies who charge $15,000, $20,000 for a website without testing anything just to please the owner, but it doesn't do any good. So it doesn't bring any business without testing it. So hearing what the audience will respond to is like the best investment you can make.
Got it. So I got to ask you about something, because I know this is holding back a lot of coaches just from me getting feedback from people and talking with a lot of them. And that is those lovely people we know as haters or critics. Yeah. And with Facebook ads, that's the interesting thing. You could have somebody sitting in a basement in Boise, Idaho, who curtains are closed, they're eating Cheetos, and they're in front of their computer, and they see a Facebook ad pop up, and they just rip into you. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of that being in this world. How can coaches protect, this doesn't mean it sounds soft, protect their feelings, but how do you protect your mindset when you're dealing with stuff coming from haters on your ads?
We love it because it's a form of response from the audience. So you're going to have that. You have to come to terms with whenever you do something in life and you put yourself out there, there's going to be a certain small percentage of population who's going to find a way to criticize you. Like, we run ads all day long and I can't tell you the amount of things I hear from certain people. While 95% of them are super positive and people take and apply, there's a small percentage, just like you said, they have nothing to lose and nothing to gain, and all they want to do is just criticize you for how your hair looks or your accent or your background, your shirt, and whatever it is. Like, that's their way of judging your message. And I think if you're serious about your career, you got to come to terms that that will happen.
Yeah. I saw a male coach getting attacked for having a man bun. He had an ad with him on a mountain, and someone said, why would I pay money for a dude with a man bun. Now, I'm not insulting anyone listening that has a man bun or anything. I'm just saying what I saw at people. And actually, one of the guys who's just amazing guy doing a lot of stuff out there, Scott Oldford, he's posted before screenshots of some of the stuff people say, and it's just horrible. Yeah. They're going back to, Scott's been very open. He was overweight when he was a kid. They're going back to his old pictures from, you know, back when he was, I don't know, 10 years old or something, and they're insulting him there. And I'm thinking, do you even bother answering that if people are doing it, or do you just totally ignore that on Facebook ads?
I ignore them, and there's a way to disable those comments so they're not seen by others. So that's what we do.
I got it.
If it is an objection, that's a different story. If they hear something and they say, nah, I don't agree with this because my experience is this, that's an opportunity to prove yourself to the remaining of the people who might be reading the same comment, and they might not be as knowledgeable, and they might think, maybe this guy is right. Maybe O is actually wrong.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity to respond back and explain yourself better, not defending yourself, but respecting other people's opinion. But if it is just a direct insult, it's not really, because you're not going to convert that person to be a believer. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the most important question, O's, that we all want to know. What's your opinion on man buns? No, I'm just kidding. Lots of great stuff here. And I mean, we could talk for hours and hours about Facebook ads. Just, I mean, we could do a 5-hour podcast. But anyone who wants to find out more about you, can you remind us again where your Facebook group is and where else we can connect with you online?
Sure. The Facebook group is Facebook 10K Revenue Club. 10 is a number, 10K Revenue Club. That's my Facebook group where I do weekly live session, and I usually have a guest with me so we can break down different funnels and reverse engineer different funnels and talk about strategies of client acquisition. So many good stuff. And for someone who wants to know about Facebook training that I have, they can go to 10krevenueclub.com. And they can register for a free training on that page.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing this, Oz. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was great to be on, Mark.
Awesome. So we've had Oz Konar on the show today talking all about Facebook ads. If you need any help with your Facebook ads, go check out his stuff. And you just got a new member for your Facebook group because I just put in a request to join it. So let me know when you approve it. I'll just spam the heck out of your wall. No, I'm just kidding.
Great to have you, Mark.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks, Oz, and thanks everyone else for tuning in. If you're not doing Facebook ads, get on the train, because that is where it's happening right now. It's not going away anytime soon, at least. I'm Mark Mawinney, and I will see you on the next Natural Born Coaches.
Thanks for listening to the Natural Born Coaches podcast at naturalborncoaches.com. See you next time.